Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Photographer Mindset Podcast. I'm half the co-hosting team here, Seth Macy.
And I'm the other half, Aaron Manis.
And in this episode, expect to learn exactly how to properly construct or improve your online personality on social media. We talk about how it's so important if you're, you know, if you're really focused on growing your account to have an identity online, something that funnels people to your work that can then see, you know, your core content, your beautiful photographs or amazing videos that you take. You need something that's interesting and captivating to get people there. So we talk entirely this episode about how to build that persona. And I think we had the perfect guest for this today. We had Trav in the Bush, who right in his bio, you see that on Instagram that he makes relatable, educational, fun content for beginner bird photographers. And I mentioned how specific and niche that is. It's almost like a mission statement. He knows exactly what he's going to make. People who land on his page know exactly what to expect. He's funny.
Yeah, he had I really enjoyed his thoughtfulness in terms of his strategy and how he attacks Instagram. It didn't just seem one-sided in terms of like, I just want to grow, I'm doing whatever I can. There was a definite strategy which he shares in terms of different stages of what he's looking for in terms of getting out of social media. How can I leverage this social media account to help me either grow or, you know, launch a product or sign a deal, whatever it may be. There are strategies behind it, and he kind of shares some of those secrets.
With that, let's do it. Today's episode is brought to you by Tamron Americas, and for a limited time only, you can save up to $200 on Tamron's award-winning second-generation duo of fast aperture f2.8 lenses for your Sony E-mount camera. They're offering $200 off their 28-75mm f2.8 VXD G2, which is a lens I personally have and love, and their 70-180mm f2.8 VC VXD G2. Both lenses are equipped with unmatched optical performance powered by the high-precision VXD linear motor for fast, precise, and silent autofocus. Additional features are the moisture-resistant construction as well as scratch-resistant coating on the barrel of the lens and a rubber focusing ring for a comfortable, secure grip, among other features. You can also utilize the Tamron Lens Utility Connector port for expanded possibilities of still photography and video shooting. Discover these amazing features and more online at www.tamron-americas.com or stop by your local camera store to save now through May 26th. That link is also available in our episode description. Well, man, thanks for joining us today. Very much appreciate you taking the time out of your day. And we connected over this Guinness. You said Guinness is your favorite beer, and I'm drinking the Guinness Zero, which is new. I recommend everyone who loves Guinness go and try that if they're trying to cut down their alcohol consumption. Not even sponsored. I just love Guinness. It's my favorite beer ever.
There we go.
You got good taste.
So today we're going to do an episode, since you have it listed right in your bio, actually, which I love. I love when people have in their bio exactly who they are, that, you know, you make fun, relatable, educational content for beginner bird photographers. How specific, how niche, you know, how important is that to just be completely, it's almost like a mission statement. You're completely dialed in so that people who find your page know this is what I'm going to get from this person.
Yeah, exactly. It's made a huge difference, and it actually has helped, like, not just, it doesn't just help the viewer. It actually helps me in making my content. It's like, oh, what am I going to make today? I make fun, relatable, and educational content for beginner bird photographers.
Right. So it's hard to stray.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, that's great. Because I have this exact topic I want to talk about, but it's later on. So I'm going to avoid getting ahead of myself with questions. But the very, very, very first thing I wanted to ask you, and I said this before we started recording, is that, and multiple listeners had recommended and asked that you come on the show, and we're excited that you were coming on. And I know you dealt with a little bit of, I don't know, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but it seemed like a little bit of imposter syndrome for a split second. That's okay. but to do an episode that was entirely about how to create a successful online persona, whether that's different from who you are in your everyday life or whether that's authentic to who you are. I think I said this to you, you're an excellent bird photographer, of course, but I would say that you're so watchable, and that's probably played an integral part in your success in growing your account online and having more people see your work. So to do an episode entirely on that, how can people successfully build? I've strayed away from using personal brand because that gives some people the ick, but just an online persona. So very first question, in your opinion, how important is it to you to have an online persona as a photographer? And do you think, to what I was saying earlier, is it critical that your online identity is portrayed exactly as who you are in everyday life? Or is it okay to have different personalities outside and inside the realms of social media and the real world?
Yeah. So for the first part of that question, for me, I know that you brought up the imposter syndrome thing, but I knew from the very beginning, like, I'm not the best photographer and I'm never gonna be. And a photo of a bald eagle is a photo of a bald eagle. We all got one sitting here probably, right? Mm-hmm. But there's one thing here that we all don't have, and that's like each other as an individual. So what I create and what I show is what I can make, right? And that separates yourself from the crowd, is showing who you are. Like, that's even the way I even look at content. Like, if a video of an owl or something goes viral, I think that's great. Like, good on you. That's awesome. But I don't know who made that. Mm-hmm. No idea. Whereas when you combine the two, you show who you are, and then you also have, and then show your work. It's like, oh, whose work is that? That's Travin the Bush. Right. That's kind of the way. What was the second part to that question?
The second part was, in your opinion, and I mean, maybe you can take both sides of this. I'm sure listeners will have their opinion, but do you feel it's okay to have your online persona, your social media personality? Is it better to have it be exactly who you are in real life? Or is it okay to kind of take on different personalities outside and inside the realms of social media? Like, can you be two different people?
I think a lot of people can be, for sure. It depends. Like, that's a good question.
Yeah, and I'll preface this just with everyone listening. Like, you're not an expert, let's say. Like, this is, you've had great success, in my opinion, and other people's opinions, in growing your account with such a good personality. And so, you know, I figure, what better person to kind of share their opinion? So this is always opinion, folks. So just to take some pressure off you.
Yeah, no worries. I think eventually, depending on how big you get, people will see through it. Like, at some point, like, there's been scandals with that's happened with influencers where eventually, you know, or even like big celebrities where that's happened, where they look great on their show, but behind the scenes, you know, they treat everybody like garbage. So, you know, if you are not a decent human, but you betray yourself online as this great person, eventually, like, that dirty laundry is going to come to the surface. So,
yeah, for sure. I wonder about, though, you know, let's use the example where it's not a positive and a negative, right? Where it's like, hey, I'm this really funny person online, or I'm this really outgoing, extroverted person online. But in my everyday life, I like to kind of be alone on a Saturday night and read a book. You know, do you think you can kind of play both of those, or do you think things kind of get misaligned? Have you ever had that issue, or are you pretty true to who you are online within real life as well?
No, because I think online, it may seem like I have like I'm outgoing and maybe I have a big personality and like I make a lot of like funny skits.
Right.
Like, in real life, I'm not like that.
Right.
Like, yes. In my opinion, I'm not that funny, and I'm very much introverted, like, big time. Like, I don't like when I go to a park and there's people there, I definitely get that like insecurity, and I'm like, I'm probably not going to film content today, or I'm going to go try and find somewhere in the bush where I can film this by myself. Cause that's when I work best, is when I'm alone and just kind of like ideas are firing off and I'm sitting down at my desk here and just writing down ideas.
Right. Right. So then maybe it's a chance to exercise some of those things you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
Interesting. Aaron, before I move on, cause I have the tendency to ask a million questions. Yeah, thoughts at this point?
I have so many thoughts. I'm thinking wildly. I was just listening to a podcast. And I'm not sure honestly what it was, but kind of talking about this, and with success in terms of the personality that you show online, there is a pressure to continue with that. So you do one thing that works out and it goes viral or semi-viral, or you get a lot of attention for it. It's pretty human to be like, oh, like that's what works. I'm going to do more of that. And I could see it for a lot getting into this sort of trend of like you become this thing that is driven by the masses, by driven by audience approval, driven by audience sort of accolades in a sense. And it brings you to a point where you might have to undo some things to be like, oh, like I got away from who I actually really am. And now I'm doing all these public speaking events, or I'm being noticed out in the park. Now people are running up to me and they want to see my thing. Like that could happen. You know, you have a pretty healthy following, but imagine 100 million followers. Like you're going to be noticed at that point, and it can kind of take you away from the true, like you said, introverted, kind of quiet, doing my own thing person. So I do just think it is an interesting balance of that success and it pulling you, you know, to go create content on a day you just wanted to relax and not, you know, there is that sort of, you have to feed the beast if you're not feeding yourself. And that whole thing is very interesting to me too, talking about being authentic versus the persona, whether it is you or not, might not be the actual truth of who you are, if that makes sense. Like it's pushing you to go do things. That's not neither bad nor good, but pushing you to go do things that you might not really want to do. Does that make sense? Does that ring any bells?
It does. And if people struggled, they can rewind and listen to you again. I'm just teasing. That was very concise. I'm just messing with you. Very concise. So moving on, back to, you know, I said I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but here I am about to ask the question. When we were talking about your bio, how it kind of keeps you in a lane, right?
Yeah.
Where you create fun, relatable, educational content for beginner bird photographers. So specific. Do you like that keeps you in a lane, or is it frustrating that it keeps you in a box before I ask my other questions?
Yeah, I find, so there's, the way I split it up is there's the, depends what I want to do. If I want to grow, if right now I'm like, oh, I'm in a growing stage. I know that if I make the comedy skits, that's how I get, if someone wants to go viral, I make the comedy skits. They usually do really well. But it's a box of, if I want something to perform really well, I know what I can make, because that's what my audience likes to see from me. Whereas like when I make my educational content, that never does well, but that's for my core. Like that's for my people that really enjoy what I make. Those are what I call like my core audience. My right. People is what I like to call them. Like they're like the people that love traveling the bush. I make that for them. And it, like I said, it doesn't perform well. If I want to veer off, I just have to know that it's just not going to do well, but it doesn't matter, because my core people, like I know no matter what, I don't think I've had a video, and I'm not saying this, like I'm not bragging. I just know that the audience that I have, I can make something and it can be garbage, but I don't think I've had a video not get 10,000 views in like 6 months. So wow. I can experiment with what I want, because I've been posting for years and I've built up that strong core audience that likes me. So if I want to get creative and make something totally outside the box, I don't have, like, I can, but if I'm like, okay, I got a brand deal coming up, it's time to make, I need to get the algorithm engines going. We got to make some comedy skits. We got to pump out some of the better photos and do some trends and really get that motor going. But if I'm feeling creative or I got an idea that sparks, it's okay if I venture out outside, because I've built up that core audience that are like, oh, this is new and weird, but okay, sure, let's do it.
Where's the line between the game and the true art or passion that's you? Like, where's that line and how much does it overlap in terms of, it seems very conscious, like, now I got to be a funny guy if I want to grow, versus, you know, someone that might be just like, I like wildlife photography. That's all I'm posting. I don't care about growth. I'm just going to do the best photos that I possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, so where's that line, and how's that affect you in terms of your, I don't know, enjoyment all over, all encompassing question.
Yeah. For me, I will not enjoy it if I force it. I need to force like a comedy video or something. Nope. No way. I just, every time an idea comes into my head, I write it down and it gets added to the long laundry list of what I can make. When I do need to feed the beast, that's when I have some files on my computer that I make the real basic stuff. Lift your camera in slow motion. Like, I actually have files that are like me with camera, photos of birds, and then like like the music that can go with it. So to feed the beast, I'm just going to those files and being lazy. But if I'm trying to be creative and making something I really like and I'm forcing it, I'm going to burn out. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So I just, whenever ideas come, I'm putting those out. And that's kind of where I've found that line is just never force it. If it's today and I got nothing, I'm not posting. I got nothing. It's the way it goes.
Right.
Yeah. So I just don't start forcing it to feed the beast.
That's an interesting mindset, I think, to like have this sort of, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but cookie cutter template of like, these reels do decently. I'm not really thinking too hard. I already have all the, I have the pre-shot lifting the camera in slow-mo, walking through the woods in slow-mo. And I have a plethora of photos that I can add to the, or video files that I can add to the second half of this video. I can just churn these out day after day and feed the beast, get some following, get some new questions, some new DMs, some new, you know, just whatever it may be, just keep it going so I don't disappear. And then keep that laundry list of, you know, creative ideas are like, this would be a great idea, but it's going to take time and I need to think it out and like sit on it. And then when you're motivated to do those more creative pieces that, you know, may perform way better or might just be for you or for your core audience. It's, I like that, that sort of separation. Do you have any other categories? Like, is there just, I'm going to post a photo. Is there that category? Have you gone?
Yeah, there's the video. Yeah, I have the other category I have like a file that has like all my top videos. And if I know that like I need to grow right now, or if I need to like really get the beast going, I just remake them. It takes two sets. Mm-hmm. Like I just change a couple things and pump it out. Like reposting content, at the end of the, you are the only one who knows that. The audience doesn't know that you just reposted something. They have no clue. Like it doesn't, I've never had somebody be like, hey, you posted this, like
you've already done this.
Yeah, you've already. I've never had that ever.
He's a phony.
Yeah, exactly. Phony.
Do you have a time frame in your head though? Like, you know, I could do this anything after 6 months, or anything after 3 months, or anything after a year. I can rehash.
I don't have a specific time frame, but it's more like, what do I need? Like if it's mostly only if I'm doing a collab with somebody and I need to get the engines revving, then I will just, and I don't do collabs that often, but when I do, it's just like, okay, let's go back, remake some of those videos just to get it pumped, like revving. So that way when I do the collab video, there's a lot going on my page, and then it like, hopefully will spike it. And then the, you know, the company I'm working for, we can, it'll do well. But no, I don't have anything specific, but, or maybe I've posted a bunch of creative things and maybe I'm just having a big flop, like my videos just aren't doing well. Mm-hmm. Then I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna go remake this one just to give myself a spike.
It's interesting to me how strategic your approach is, and I think in like a, it's a good way, like you're using the knowledge that you have and you're being very strategic, which to me also is very efficient in terms of your goals and what you're trying to do. Period. That's all I have to say there. But it's cool. That's an interesting way to think about it. I think if you've seen my page, like they're not that we're similar in any ways, but I do use humor at times. I do use, here's a really pretty video. Like, I just really like it. Here is just a photo that I really like. But there are those different channels, those different avenues, and certain things do perform better than other things.
Yeah,
of course. But I've never really thought of it in terms of like a strategic period of like, I'm going to use all my comedy photos and videos and keep, you know, putting them out there every couple of weeks, even if I'm repeating, just to get a huge boost before I do a brand deal or post something that I want someone to see and do really well. That's a very strategic and smart way to go about it, in my opinion.
No, thanks. It's been, like, it's just, it's sad. Like that just understanding that like social media, it's a game. Mm-hmm. As much as, like, it's totally, it's just a game. Like you said, you're feeding the beast. You're just feeding into the machine. And I get it, as much as like, and that's only if you want to be a content creator, then that's, you know, that's your avenue. You don't have to do that to be a photographer, a pro wildlife photographer. Right. That's just like, I'm a bit of a mix, and content creation is part of one of my, like, part of the piece of the pie. So that's the way that I've formulated it. So that way I can continue to feed that beast.
Yeah.
Well, before we move on, I think what you're saying about segregating content is really important. Have you guys ever seen the Ryanair account, the airline account? This is a perfect example of a company in this instance that posts content just specifically for the purpose of being viral, and then mixed with what I would call their brand important information for people who are actually customers that they have already funneled to their work. So I think you kind of said that your brand content is your core content. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like the educational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like your funny stuff gets people to your page. We've talked a lot recently about funneling, and then people are like, hey, I like this guy. And then the educational stuff isn't going to blow up like the viral stuff, but it's going to provide tremendous value to people who are hanging around your page for that exact purpose.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah. And that's the same thing with photos. Like, I post my photos like for the validation, and same with the educational videos, again, for the validation of myself as a teacher and like just showing that I know what I'm doing and then talking about. And then, yeah, that's exactly it. And then the comedy funnels them in.
Right. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. This may be a silly question, and it kind of, I guess, ties into, you know, what we were talking about earlier. Do you feel like the content you put out helps shape your online personality, or does your personality always influence the content first? Forgive me if that's not super clear, but it may seem obvious. Like, of course, my personality influences the content I put out, but perhaps it's a feedback loop.
Can you repeat that one more time for me?
Sure. So over time, do you find that the content you're putting out changes your online personality, or is who you are always influencing what you put out? And then the second part was I could see it being a feedback loop. I wish I could have like a whiteboard.
Yeah, I need a whiteboard.
Does that sort of make sense?
I think
forgive me if that's silly.
Yeah, so no.
Marathon yesterday, and his
I'm a little loopy.
Well, congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. My legs are absolutely stapled to the floor.
I think my personality feeds into it. Like, when I make the comedy videos, I wish I should show more behind the scenes. Like, I'm giggling to myself the whole time I'm making it. Even when I've like, even when I'm editing it, I'm sitting there just like, just giggling away. Like, I love it. It's like, I really do love making that. And it's a part of my personality. Like, I make a lot of the videos, like some of the comedy ones are about how I can't stand it, you know, when some guy walks up and he's like, oh, you know, that's a big camera you got there.
Right.
Like, in reality, it's like, it's harsher than that. Like, I fucking hate it. And I go a lot lighter. I try to keep it like light. I sometimes do like the odd dirty joke or swear like with my stuff. But no, the reality is of it, it's like, oh, I actually like, I hate this.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's funny.
What's
the response? Well, first of all, do you ever have moments before you press publish where you're like, I don't know if people are going to laugh at this. Like, this might be just an absolute bomb. And what gets you through that?
I have some, or even some I'm like, oh, it's kind of risky. Like, are people going to get offended by that one?
I have many drafts.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. And I've always found I'm always overthinking it. I think people care a lot less, like, obviously, like, veer away from politics, people care a lot less than what, like, they care a lot less than what you think. Like, the moose, I don't know if you guys saw, like, I posted the moose one where I called a moose a bison, and I was expecting
engagement,
and I was expecting everybody to lose their minds, 99% of people took the comment. The comment section's awesome. I was actually expecting people to be like, "Oh, you moron! How could you, like, full on attacking me?" But no, it actually turned into like, it turned awesome. Like, everybody, it just turned into a massive joke. Like, people were calling me dumb, but then they'd be like, "You idiot! That's a clearly a beaver. I'm Canadian and I know." Like, that's what it kind of turned into. So, yeah, I've found anytime I hesitate, I'm just overthinking it.
Right. No, it's totally fair. Totally fair.
Yeah, it's scary, I think, putting yourself out there. Maybe you can talk on that a little bit. There was probably a first couple of videos where you're taking a risk and taking a departure from, I don't want to say just a bald eagle shot, but we used that example before, just a bald eagle shot, and saying like, I'm going to add some personality to this. I'm going to try to add some humor. And that is definitely a departure from where you were at some point. And yep. I think with that comes the fear of potential huge failure, like people laughing you off stage. Like, totally. Comedians, a lot of credit for like their first, you know, show, their first 5 minutes that they have to do. That takes a lot of guts to feel like I can pull this off. So maybe just flashing back a little bit, like what were the struggles that you had to go for? Or where'd you find that early success? Or is there one video that you felt like, oh, like this worked and this really launched my career in a sense in terms of like this avenue?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I started when TikTok started going big, vertical video and trends, like that was when I got my start, was just following the lip sync trends. Mm-hmm. But the first one that ever did really well was on Instagram, and it was of a, you know, I did like, I forget what the lip sync was, but I remember the video and it was something like, oh, this is one of the greatest photos I've ever taken as a wildlife photographer. And it was an osprey shooting. Like just a great big spray coming right out. Oh, yeah. And that took off. I was like, oh, people like that. Okay. And then I kind of went with that. And I tried to take every single trend that was going. And I'm like, how can I make this about, how can I use this trend, but make it for wildlife photographers and make it mm-hmm. relatable to wildlife photographers? What are the pain points and the struggles that wildlife photographers go through? Okay, I'm going to use this trend. And that's kind of how it started for me. I never, being worried about what people thought, it just, even after that first video went viral, like nobody like was being mean, like nobody was mean. I didn't really see that. I feel like a lot of us have that fear of putting it out there, but kind of like I said before, people care a lot less than you think. Mm-hmm. again, if it's like, yeah, I just didn't find that. And I just kept doing it more and doing it more and doing it more. And yeah, still learning that people care less and less again that you think. And the big, what was kind of the big turning? I'm trying to think what the big kind of turning point was.
Just maybe a cumulative success of multiple videos. Just you kept going and then you learn your strategy or learn your strategic moves.
Yeah, that was it. Was that when something goes viral, that's when you're going to get people that maybe judge you a little bit, but that's mm-hmm. because it's pushing it out to a ton of people that aren't your people. The people mm-hmm. that like you and like your content are going to say nice things. The people that, it's like somebody walking into a store, looking around and then leaving, except before they leave, they have to say something.
All your stuff's shitty.
Yeah, exactly. And just reminding yourself, like, they would never do that to you in real life. Like,
yeah.
Like you're never going to do that. So, yeah, and just as time went on and on and on, you just start to brush it off. You're like, okay, like, Sir Vapes a lot, 6969 told me I'm shitty. I'm, whatever, man. I don't care. The thing that I've actually found it's gotten worse since I've gotten bigger, and it's not in the way I thought. I thought I was gonna have a hard time dealing with it from the strangers, but it sucks when it's other photographers. And as you get bigger, it's like photographers that are actually good or like have a name, and they rip on you a little bit. that's when it starts to sting a little. It's like, man, I liked you.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of how I found my journey to go, was as it grew, caring less. And then as I've gotten bigger, seeing these other photographers kind of, I don't know, jealousy, now, I don't know.
So I have this Photoshop theory where, with wildlife photography especially, you can relate, I'm sure, where it's like, you know, the Nat Geo pick, where it's basically raw out of the camera, minor adjustments. And then the true to life, or some true to life, quote unquote true wildlife photographers will be like, you can't adjust that. Like the fine art sort of, that's not right. You can't get into Photoshop. And then there's a percent that truly believes that. And there's a percent that tries to bring everything into our own ideals and then create, you know, a citadel around it, right? Yeah. Like Photoshop's bullcrap. Well, you don't know Photoshop. It's complicated and it's hard. So this argument, this pedestal is very convenient for you to believe in, right? So yeah. I feel like that happened with the Reels thing too. Oh, screw video. I'm sticking to photography. And there's a certain percent that believes that. And there's a certain percent that was just scared of, oh, I have to learn a new freaking thing. Like, I just don't want to. So I'm going to put down and keep everyone down. Yep. You know, that isn't. It's like, you know, Seth drinking the Guinness Zero. Me being like, oh, what's wrong? Do you got a problem? Like, why can't you drink? Why can't you hang out?
Damn good. I've been muting.
I'm going to have a few beers. I really want you to have a few beers tonight. Like, why aren't you slamming them back? You're making me feel bad.
Right.
Because you're not doing it. So I wonder if there's a part of that. That you're just going to get that sort of, that tide's going to creep in into your life when you're doing something, you're doing it successfully. They might consider it like, oh, you're popular because you're tricking it, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay, but I'm doing my thing. I've always said with the Reels, like you go to your page and it's a bunch of beautiful cover photos. Like you're getting your wildlife photography out there, and whether there's a video behind it for people to come in and funnel in, you're just being creative. It's like you having a store with great marketing or a great sign out front or a billboard, and someone having a store that sucks, whether the stuff inside is good, it just looks like, I don't want to go in there. It's in a bad part of town. That's a
great analogy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. Where's the applause thing?
Yeah, where is it? Where do you have it?
I don't have it.
Wait, do I have a sound effect? Oh, that's Price is Right. You don't want to get copyrighted. Here we go.
What a great analogy. Thank you. No, but you know, like coming after you, like our food's better. Yeah, well, your food might be better in this store, but your sidewalk appeal is like, it's just trash. No one wants to go there. So figure it out. But don't come over to the next store and be like, your food sucks. But like, okay, well, we're trying and we're doing things right, you know?
Come in your store and yell rat.
Yeah, exactly.
Clear everyone out.
So I'm curious, like what kind of put downs or comments is it like?
This one like got to me real good. Yeah. And because again, it's like one of those things, nobody's ever gonna see it. The video didn't do that well because it was one of my educational ones, but I made a video on just how people can find, it was like three tips on how to find owls in your area. And one of my tips was, you know, you can use eBird and you can look and see on eBird, like, oh, like maybe like looks like an owl shows up in this park every October or something like that. So it's like, oh, maybe there could be a nest there. Who knows? You could go check it out. And that's what I had said. And I get that some people don't like, I wasn't saying here are the coordinates to an owl's nest. I was just saying, here are the resources you can use it to maybe find one in your area. Mm-hmm. And it upset me because it was a local guy who like I really appreciated and liked his work. And he commented and just said, like, basically just like threw me under the bus, is like, oh, you're making this for the views. This is BS. You don't care about the animals. This is unethical. And again, it's like one of those things nobody will see, but it was like, oh man, like that sucks. Like, I really liked all your stuff. and then it makes like me a little paranoid, because it's like, you know, you're in the big social circles like around. I'm like, is there a big group of you guys talking shit? Like, I don't know. Yeah. If you that's know what you're willing though? To post about me, like, you know.
Do you know what though? Someone's talking shit about you always.
True. Yeah.
There's people who don't like me. There's people who don't like Aaron. There's people who don't like you. And there's people who
that's fucking love bullshit. Us.
I'm sorry, Aaron. It's the truth.
No.
It's true. Like this expectation that like everyone has to like us or that everyone thinks we're great is not, it's fantasy land, right? But it stings. It stings when someone doesn't like us.
Yeah,
right?
It stings when it's like somebody local that I was like, man, that sucks.
I gotta see you.
So curious.
Well, that's the other part of this story is I found it really interesting that him and I are both doing a photo tour, the same exact tour on the same exact day. How convenient.
Nice.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we're going on a bit of a tangent here. We'll get back to the online persona thing, and that's all right. Tangents are good. I'm curious, though, do comments like that get to live on your grid, or do they get thrown in the trash bin?
I try not to ever delete them, unless it's like something like crazy, but I know it depends how bad it is, but if it's even kind of riding the line, I'll leave it. 'Cause I know people will comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that feeds my video.
I think there's also something too, to standing by. If you truly believe that what you're doing isn't wrong or in a different scenario is right. Standing by it and allowing criticism is important.
Yep.
You know, we all see those accounts where it's like, oh, you deleted comments. And it's like, do I trust this person? I mean, how many people are in the world can do no wrong? No one. Everybody makes a mistake or doesn't do the right thing every now and then. So I like when I like when people keep stuff like that up. I just asked because, like you said, things can be super not nice and vulgar. And I think like stuff that's that negative doesn't deserve a place to sit on your digital space. Right.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off there.
No, go ahead.
I just like to, I like David Goggins a lot. And something that he says is, you know, if somebody, you know, bullies are mean, but sometimes when they say something and it gets to you, there might be a little bit of truth behind it.
Right.
It's like, I kept it up because it made me really think. I was like, you know, was I wrong here? Was I unethical? And I thought about it long and hard and I was like, you know what? No, I believe everybody has a right and opportunity. Like everybody should be able to see an owl in their neighborhood. And if I helped them get there and got them outside, like, I think that's awesome.
Right.
So I'm like, no, I stand by it. I don't think I was wrong, but I do appreciate that it made me think. And I find that some of the ones that do, if they do sting a little bit, I do have to sit back and be like, all right, is that just hitting my ego? Am I upset about that? Or,
right.
Or, you know, was I wrong here? So
that's very, self-aware. It's good to hear you say that. The other thing about Goggins as well, since we're on that topic, he also doesn't allow negative comments to sit under his videos if they're going to harm the people who are there to get better or learn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's to what the other side we were talking about, where it's like, get it off my page if it's really harmful.
Oh, totally. Like if somebody's doing something like, if it's something crazy, I have never thankfully experienced that where somebody's put something, at least not that I've seen or been aware of, but.
Right. Right. Well, we've been talking about, you know, how to, all these things to build an online persona, strategies for viral content versus core content. And I guess it kind of begs the question, how are you measuring your success or impact? Is it, I made 10 people laugh today? Is it, I got 1,000 new followers? I mean, what's your bar?
So for me, my bar was 100,000 and now it's time to like make money. Essentially. Fair. Now it's time to capitalize on my audience. Like I don't want to be greedy. Now the content that I make is like, I'll feed the beast if I have a collab, but now that I try and make more of my content, like I still like, and I do like to post every day because I like it. And as long as I like it, I'm going to keep doing it. Sorry, I went on a tangent there. Repeat the question for me.
Just like what's your metrics for measuring success or that you're having an impact? Is it, like you said, is it followers? Is it changed daily? It's, oh, I made 10 people laugh today. I mean, I guess in a more general sense, the question is, what am I doing this for? All the strategy, all this educational content, is it just to genuinely help? Is it to genuinely help and, you know, monetize all my hard work? I mean, this is a touchy, not even, this is a, I have a firm stance on this subject where people get upset when people monetize. Those people need to grow up. I'm sorry. Like, oh my God, you're doing ads on your podcast? It's like, I do this stuff for free. You know, I make, or if you're you, I make bird videos to help you take better photos for free.
Yeah.
You know, no one's forcing you to pay for this. If you wanted to pay for a workshop or you wanted to sit through a 30-second ad, thank you. I guess I just have a personal bugaboo when people get mad about creators who monetize after all the hard work they've put in. I think part of that is because they don't see that.
Yeah. No. So yeah, good, good question. So like my, I have like a big, like I want to do this for like my entire life. So I have like a big kind of life goal. Like for this small one right now, it's like, I want to get to 100,000 and now I want to build up my, my core audience. And I do want to monetize, but that's not like my main goal. Of course, I still want to make, I want to make a living off this because I love it. But my, my big overall goal is to somehow, I do want to make an impact, but something I always think about, and it's the reason my content is the way it is. I always think about myself when I was younger, and that's kind of who I'm trying to make content for and who I want to, do things for. Because like, I think of myself when I was younger, growing up in the city and want to take a photo of a grizzly bear, but never having that opportunity. So now that I'm there and I've had that opportunity and I can do that, I don't want to. And that's the reason I do birds, is because it's relatable to everybody. So the guy, that kid that's in the city that's, you know, just watched a nature documentary about whales and they're like, oh man, I always wanted to do that. That's my overarching goal, is to somehow get that person a camera in their hands and get them outside. Because the more people that I can get with a camera and outside, the more they're going to have an impact. The more they're going to appreciate nature and hopefully want to save it. And that's where I think that's kind of my overarching goal, is with my comedy skits and things. People see that, they laugh, they like it. And, you know, I kind of want to like, I kind of want to pick up a camera now, you know. And even though I said I do want to monetize, my goal with that is to have different stages of that monetization. My big tours, that's my big money. That's, you know, I'm charging people thousands to go out. But then I want to have a little online subscription base where it's more affordable for the everyday person. And then I want to do something that I do for free, that people can have access to me, if that's like just a walk around bird tour in my area or something like that. So that way I have stages for every income and a way to get everybody outside that also I can still make an income.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think what's important is people forget that you monetizing allows you to do more of what you do.
Yeah, totally. it benefits them. The online program I want to make, I want to have different coaches come in. And so like, you, it'd be like you subscribe to it. And then like, I would bring like one of you guys on like for the month and you'd be like the monthly coach, but then I also get to pay you. So the more people that subscribe, the more coaches I can bring in. Like, and so it's all going to funnel back like to the subscriber, things like that.
Right.
That's very cool.
Right. Good makes idea. Total sense. Total sense. What are some of your best practices for engaging with your audience? I mean, do you have a method like, hey, I should dedicate 30 minutes today to talking to people and commenting on things I like on the Explore page and answering DMs? Or is it kind of just all done willy-nilly here and there when you feel like it? Is it more structured or free-flowing with how you engage with your followers or people you follow, et cetera?
Yeah, I do from every day from 9 till 10 is like online. That's when I do my post, usually is around 9 a.m. And then that's when I engage. So about an hour of engagement. That's like
office hours.
Pardon me?
You have office hours. This concept of office hours, I've been hearing more creators do.
Yeah, so it's from about 9 till 10, and that's when I do my DMs. I do mostly my comments. So I'll comment on yesterday's video, so that way the people will see that, and then they'll see the new video posted and then hopefully like that video. And then, so that's usually how I do it.
That allows for a lot of discipline too, to not get lost. in the digital world scrolling.
Oh yeah.
I like that. You know, here's an hour of my day. This is what I'm doing and this is all I'm doing. I think that's been very helpful for me. I know people want to hear from you, so we'll get back to you talking, but that's just been very helpful for me in structuring days. It's like right now I'm answering emails. I don't have my texts up. I'm not watching YouTube videos at the same time. Like I'm doing this one task and then I'm moving on to the next one. And then I'm moving on to the next one.
Yeah.
I feel like we try to do too much all at once, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like I actually just learned that myself, like learning, doing this full time. I was just talking about that with my partner this morning. I can't do like the, except for that, for the posting thing from 9 till 10, I can do that. But the rest of my day has to go to like a specific thing. I can't be like, okay, from 12 till 1, it's doing this. From 1 till 2, I can't do that. I have to be
so your whole day is committed to something.
Totally. Like today was making content. Right. Today I'm making content at my computer, editing everything.
Right.
That's it.
So that's interesting. So where I'm doing the 10 to 11 is emails and I'm breaking it down in smaller chunks. You're saying, well, my Monday is emails or my Tuesday is content. I think it's the same thing, just in a more macro sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. Aaron?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think depending on what you're doing, you have to be more structured or less structured. Depending on what your priorities are. I know Seth and I, our priority often is this show. And the things that go along with that. So sometimes our personal Instagram or our personal brand falls by the wayside because you can only do so much. So you just got to kind of prioritize and make a system for what you're trying to do. I think it makes sense completely to divide time and figure out where you're going to do things so you can sort of see it. Time's a nice little structure that we've created where you can see it on paper. You can see a day and figure out, well, there's, I don't know, 12, 14 units where I'm awake in a sense, 14 hours, let's say. And I want to spend two of those, a seventh of that time connecting or building content or like whatever it is. You can kind of break it up and see a nice, I guess kind of like a healthy balance you can see. With other things too, taking a walk, taking a hike, going for a run, rowing, lifting weights, eating well, reading, taking a nap, whatever it may be. You can kind of see one of those out today. On paper. I love naps. It's my age, but I'm loving naps. I think it's good to break things down and take a look.
Yeah.
For sure.
So back to if someone's listening and they're, this is really inspiring. And they're like, yeah, like I take really good photos, but I just kind of blend in with the crowd because I'm going to say this, I'm not interesting enough right outside of my photos. What are some questions or exercises do you think photographers can do that can maybe help them work out who they want to be or what message they want to convey through their online presence? Like I call it your mission statement is very, very specific. I'm going to make this content for this person.
Yep.
Is it as simple as that? Or are there other questions and exercises people can maybe do? The ones who are listening saying, I know I need to be more interesting or more captivating, but I don't really know what direction I want to go.
Yeah. I think I would lean into what you, I think some folks don't think like you said, like, oh, I'm not interesting enough. You know, I don't have grizzly bears around me. I only, you know, I got a tree that has a bunch of chickadees. Be the chickadee guy.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Like, or, well, that's it. That's your thing. Then if you're not interesting, great. Thousands of other people, millions of other people are thinking the same way. Lean into that. Oh, that could be your thing right there. Oh, I want to be a grizzly bear photographer, but I live in New York. Great. Show that journey. I bet a lot of other people want to see, like, would love to see that. How did you make it there? Show that journey. So lean into like what you think isn't interesting probably is to like a lot of other people because it's relatable. Like it's raw. It's true. It's not like, if you're already, people want to see the journey. People want to see the underdog make it, right? If you're the, if you're the wolf on top of the mountain already, it's kind of boring. You're already there. So yeah, if you think you're not interesting or something like that, or you think you can't do it, you can, and you probably have the thing already. You just haven't just haven't looked hard enough. And something that I did when I first started was I just took my phone and I talked into it, or I turned on the camera, made sure I couldn't see myself, talked into it, talked to my favorite movie, anything, whatever you want, whatever your most favorite hobby is, talk about it. Don't even look at it and delete it right away. Do that.
Where did you learn that? Is this your original idea?
No, I can't remember if that was like back when the like Casey Neistat blogs were big. It was from like that kind of era. Somebody said it. I can't remember who. But that's what I did. And I made a bunch of stuff that I never posted. I just made
you better
video.
In what area?
Actually talking to the camera and just putting your, even though it's like, you're not putting yourself out there online yet, you're still almost there. You just haven't shown it to anybody.
There's no risk.
No risk.
I think of a band's first album is usually, I mean, if they're popular, a band's first album is usually pretty damn good. And I always think the reason is because of the thousands of gigs that they played that no one heard, the small places, the hundreds of recordings that they recorded, and then they pick the five best of those hundreds to build on, and then another 100 recordings, and then they picked another five, and now they have an album out of, you know, thousands of songs that they've tried to write. And I think it's the same thing for anything. It comes down to putting yourself out there and practicing. I will never forget this one moment playing golf with a friend. They wanted to try it for the first time. Golf is an incredibly hard sport. At the driving range, they did not find success, big surprise, on the first day. And we're like, this is not for me. It never will be. It never will be if you quit on the first day. And I think that's for, you know, recording yourself or videoing yourself or editing photos or making videos or being funny or creating a joke or telling a story, whatever it is, takes a lot of practice to be very good at it. And it doesn't matter if you're not, you don't think you're interesting or you don't have interesting content to show. You do if you can. Everyone's life is interesting in some sort of way if it's true and you have a way of displaying it, and the practice of displaying it takes just practice. It really does. So if you feel like it's not interesting, like that's not the stop. The stop is that we're just not going. We're not pushing. We're not doing it. We're not doing it as much as we possibly can to find success.
What's funny is I'm glad we went down this, but that's not even what I meant by being not interesting enough. But I'm glad that listen. I'm glad you guys took that perspective, because there's a lot of people listening who are in that boat. I was more so of the mind, and we can talk about this now, shifting gears a bit. People who maybe have great content, great travel content, like air quotes, visually interesting, engaging stuff, but they're not, they're like we said at the very beginning, there's a, bald eagles are interesting, but there's a million and a bajillion photos of them online, which makes just posting a bald eagle photo not that interesting. If you see them all the time. What I meant was people who have really cool things to share that most people don't see every day, but they're not, their personality or the way they're trying to get it out there isn't making them stand out in an interesting way. Does that make sense? Because there's two, that's a different category of quote, not interesting. Like you're not being captivating despite having really cool stuff.
Yeah. This podcast has shit on bald eagles so hard. Last like four episodes. That is our example of like screw bald eagles.
Well, we have to, because there's one pinned on Travis's Instagram page. So.
Yeah.
There's also a hummingbird and I believe a quail. Is that a quail?
That's a quail.
So no, bald eagles are,
let's use hummingbird or quail for the rest of this.
Yeah. No, Seth, I think that's a very good question. And listen, some people are funnier than others. Some people have a way about them. Some people are amazing speakers, some people just have an English accent and you're like, fuck, they could say anything. Yeah. And I love it. We all have certain strengths. I think something Trav said was like keying into what is your little thing? What is, can you incorporate music into wildlife photography? Can you write songs about it? Can you like, what is your little thing that's creative and different and even slightly different, even maybe one in a thousand, you know, like every thousand, there's another one of you, but you're slightly different than the most. And you can kind of show just a little something and be confident with it. I think that is a huge hurdle, which is tough to get to, where you're like, I'm confident with this uniqueness, or I don't take this too seriously. Like, I'm not too hung up on social media or who sees me or who comments. Like, I'm going to go for it no matter what it is. And I could fail. I could burn and fail. I could completely bomb on this joke. I can send something out there and no one gets it. And people are questioning in the comments and you're like, this humor did not work.
You get back to the reward being the posting, not the result.
Yeah. And then you just stick with what you feel like, hey, I want to show this. I want to show this to the world. This is my little corner. I want to put it out there. And you see where it goes. I think it just takes a lot of practice. I think the thought process of saying I'm not interesting or I don't have anything to share, you're kind of shot yourself in the foot a little bit if that's the language that you're saying, because you're going to go into it. You're going to make that first video with that voice in your head, like, this is stupid. No one's going to like this. Yeah. This is going to bomb. And I think more than anything, humans are like amazing at reading energy. Like, we don't even know it, but we're really good at feeling energy. Like, you walk into a room of two people fighting, you know, immediately, like, oh shit, what's going on here? Like, something, there's a tension here. Like, we feel stuff, not to get too woo woo, but like, we feel stuff sometimes. And I think it comes across on video of like, that person's very sure of their situation. I don't like that joke or whatever, but like, they're confident, you know? So I think that's a huge thing.
Well, so just so we have all our bases covered for people who are listening, I'm going to be difficult and dig even deeper. The person listening who's like, I know somewhere in there I have something interesting to say or show, and I want to, but I can't figure out what it is. Like, what steps can that person take? Like, are we capable to figure this one out here? Or is this more left to, you got to figure it out on your own?
Well, that's the fun part. That's the fun part, because that's when you just get to create everything.
Okay.
You just go out, you just make, you got that idea for that funny video. Oh, I think that one's going to be good, but it's not related to what I'm doing. Do it. I made, when I had my wildlife photography page, there's videos that nobody will ever see. I made videos on my wildlife photography page of myself. They were like cookie battles. So it would be me.
Go on.
And yeah, so it would be me doing something like just living my everyday life, but then hearing something and turning and seeing a cookie. And then I would do like a slow-mo of me with a banana on my hip, and then me looking back at the cookie, and the camera looking at the cookie, and then the camera looking at me. And then I would go down to the banana would be gone, but then the banana would be with the cookie, and then the cookie would shoot me. and I made a whole series of that. So that's where I started.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I had a whole series.
That's my point, is there's really bad humor out there, and you just sometimes gotta go. You gotta go with it to find it.
I think you answered with that great story. I think you answered my question for the person who's like, I know I can be interesting, I have things to say. I think the answer was have fun.
Yeah. Make it all.
Have fun. Right?
Yeah.
Like, this totally. Is fun to me. I think really great artists don't. I mean, I'm going to try and. I don't like tiptoeing around things. Really great artists, I feel like, traditionally make things for themselves selfishly that they love. I think in this day and age, we also have to be aware, if we care about certain things like growth,
right?
There's a game I have to play too. But you can find the balance. And I feel like, especially in the beginning, the focus should just be on, I should just get comfortable having a camera pointed on me, pressing record, or I should just get comfortable committing 20 minutes of my time sitting out hoping to see wildlife, or I should, you know, be just get comfortable talking to people if I want to improve my networking or relationship building skills, as opposed to worrying about what's going to perform with the masses. I feel like that's a secondary concern.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those soft skills are more important than the hard skills. Yeah, like take the camera away and everything. Building up those soft skills are so important. Knowing how to just talk to somebody. Those little networking skills. Like that's kind of number one. You can teach yourself how to talk to the camera, make content, be like all that can be taught. Soft skills are hard to teach. Those are the hard ones. What skills
come to mind for you that are important and hard to teach, or that you think are invaluable?
Being on a podcast and being able to talk, I can't tell you how many creators and content creators that make either very personable on screen, and we've asked, hey, do you want to come on the show? And they're like, I'm not good, like live. I'm not good speaking publicly.
People would be surprised.
Like whatever the excuse, it happens many a times. And maybe it's an excuse. Maybe they're busy and they don't want to just say no, thank you. Maybe, but it seems like a somewhat of a common theme for that to be a fake excuse of just like, yeah, those soft skills, like, I'm not going to present well. I think that's the fear. Like, I'm not going to present well if I don't have full control over the editing, the lighting, the cut, the scene, the lyric, like the way I'm speaking, right?
The narrative.
The narrative, whatever it may be. I think that is really important. And you do develop that with practice, no matter what the genre is, and putting yourself out there.
Yeah, totally. Like the soft skills that come to mind is just exactly that. Like, can you meet with a stranger and just have a one-on-one conversation and it just be lighthearted, nice, fun? Mm-hmm. You're able to read the room, read that person, what they're like. You can tell by talking to them, what should I say? What shouldn't I say? What triggers them? What doesn't trigger them? Like, just that's a hard thing to learn. Like, if you can do that, that's even just somebody that works in customer service. Do you work out as a cash register? Hey, how are you? Oh, pretty good. You good? No, what are you getting today? Oh, great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See you later. Have a good day. Can you do that? Like, some people can't do that.
Right.
And the way I think of that, I worked as a guide, like a multi-day hiking and sea kayaking. And I did dog sledding for years before I started doing this. And that was the big thing, was like, my bosses who I worked for were like, we don't care if you don't know how to kayak. We don't care if you don't know how to hike. We can teach you that. You're going to be out there in the wilderness for 9 days with strangers. Can you talk to them for 9 days? Can you keep them entertained? Like, that's more like that skill will take you a long way.
Our soft skills doomed in the near future with everyone staring into a phone and trying to make me content and not really looking out to, I'm not everyone, of course, but how do I improve the world? Versus an overarching, how do I become famous? How do I become an influencer? How do I get popularity online? Back to the question, do you think we're in trouble with that in general?
We could be, but if you learn those soft skills, you're going to be way ahead of everybody else. So
I guess it begs the question, Aaron, is your question even relevant in a completely digital world where there is no interaction? I mean, we're way off topic here, but did you say yes, it does matter?
No, I said yikes.
Well, for real, I mean, for people who love little philosophical debates here, here's a little 5-minute tangent, but does it even matter? If everything is digital and we're a virtual species, you know, like a virtual hybrid species, and everyone interacts digitally through texts and Neuralink and all this stuff, does our soft skills, like, are they even, do they continue on? Are they maladaptive at that point? Are they even necessary in taking up brain space? I mean, you could get into that argument, right? Like 50 years from now.
It could be like handwriting or writing in cursive today. Like when you're
teaching. How many people do that?
Yeah, nobody writes it. Like, who, you write your signature, that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Or soft skill, it's digital soft skills.
Yeah.
How to convey proper tone textually.
You know, emojis. I mean,
Yeah. Can you write a good text? Can you write still? I guess would be still a good one. Can you write a good email?
How well can you prompt? That's where we're heading. So, whatever.
Yeah.
It's okay, Aaron. We're going to be a new species in 100 years. So,
yeah.
I'll be gone.
Homo sapiens will. We'll see if this ages well for when I'm dead and people stumble upon this episode.
Yeah. We'll check back in 60 years.
Check back in 100 years.
Yeah.
Are we a new species hybrid? Anyways.
Wow. We got a far away
from the center. This is where I would have a drink, but my Guinness Zero. Yeah. None. Well, we've talked about, who are some other creators that you like to embody or that inspire you? You think publish their content really well. It's always, like I mentioned, there was a lot of people looking forward to you coming on the show. And I'm someone who always says it's important to look up to who the person you look up to looks up to, right? So who else in this space is exciting to watch to you and see what they're working on that maybe people can go check out, can be of any size, really?
I'm a little biased, but like he's become a good friend of mine, but
that's okay.
Wild Vandermeer or Jared Vandermeer. I've got to know him on the island and got to know him pretty well. And it's just, he's pretty incredible to watch and see what he's done. Like he was one of those guys that when TikTok came out, he started as the creative photographer doing, different phone things and stuff like that. And he built up a massive million following. And now he switched to wildlife and that's where we've connected. And just seeing it, the knowledge this guy has on for socials and how he's like, oh, I'm going to be a wildlife guy. And just 3 months later, he's got close to 70K followers, just casually. Cause he just knows the game. He's been a pretty good mentor to me and somebody I look up to. And then wildlife photography wise, I'm a huge fan of Jan Wagner. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. He's a guy out of Australia. I like a lot of the way his photos look and the way his bird photos look. I kind of like to project his style onto mine. His backgrounds are a lot different than mine, but I like to have just the clean, buttery, colorful backgrounds. That's kind of what I go for with him. And then it's been awesome. I love that you guys had him on the podcast, but watching Ryan and watching that kind of uprising, that was so cool to watch. That was awesome. Yeah, it's cool that he's a local guy here too, which is pretty sweet.
What do you mean by it was cool watching that uprising? As someone spectating, let's dig into that a bit.
Yeah, because it was like I started following him and he had 4,000 followers and like that. So it was just cool to be like, oh, he's at 20, 40. 60. Oh my God, he's at 100, 120. Like it just kept like that, the social media rising. And then I loved his post when he made it there in those 3 weeks when he's like, oh, I got 100K followers in 3 weeks, but I've been doing this for 7 years. This wasn't overnight success. And I love to watch that. And I love to see that journey that he had that is like, yeah, okay, you guys are all seeing that I'm an overnight sensation, but not really. Look at the guy's work. He's incredible. It just took a second for the algorithm to pump it out and for people to see it. So it was, I just loved watching the.
And some effort, right? And some commitment to.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right. 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 What do you say to people who are listening because we've had this a bunch of times where we have some listeners who are like, I just can't relate, guys. When you talk about social media and growing and they say, I just don't get it. You know, what do you say to that?
The trick is you just can't stop.
I mean, people who say that I just don't care. Like, guys, who cares about social media? Like, who cares about 100K and who cares about all this? Mm-hmm. And
totally. Yeah. It depends what you want to do. Like,
right.
If you're not into social media, but you're like, oh, I want to be a pro wildlife photographer, you don't need to do social media. You need to learn business skills then and learn how businesses operate and how to grow it that way and how to grow it organically outside of social media. But you don't need social media to do whatever it is that you want to do. It's just a tool. It's a tool at the end of the day. And if you can utilize leverage
something else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like if you're just chasing followers, you're not, and you think that's going to make you money. It's not going to make you money. There's people out there. There's people out there that have 500,000 followers that are wildlife photographers or filmmakers that don't actually do it professionally in any capacity. They just look it online.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I mean, I guess this kind of rewinds back to our conversation when I was saying, you know, what are your metrics? Because you're right. I mean, 100, 200, 300 for what? Like,
yeah,
that's not the be all and end all. Like, that's not the checkered flag. It's how can I use this to do something else? Which yeah. I feel people who listen to this need that weekly reminder often. Not everyone, yeah. but I think it's good to, you know, okay, like, what am I doing elsewhere outside of this that makes this posting 3-4 times a week worthwhile, useful?
Totally. Unless it is what you talked about, like, unless it is just a passion project, nothing Correct. Wrong with that. Great. And you Correct. Just happen to get a big following because of that. And you're like, wow, this is incredible. Awesome.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody that's like, I want to be a pro wildlife photographer, I need a million followers. It's like, no, that's not what a pro wildlife photographer is. Like, it gives you the yeah. validation, but the validation of what? Like, what are you doing with it?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a pro in anything, the first thing is the product I'm producing or the service I'm producing needs to be the best it possibly can to my ability.
Yeah.
And then people need to know about it. Like, I need to market it. And this, to our conversation, I need to be creative with how I get that out there. Or to Aaron's example, you can have the best food in the world, but you're a hole in the wall as a restaurant. Yeah. No one's walking in, right? But you put the sign outside with great artwork and good marketing and advertising, people come in and they realize, whoa, there's something cool going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think we can all really, for those of us who are frustrated and we're like, oh, we want to grow, I want to grow, I want to grow. It's like, where's your sign outside the door? Right?
Yeah.
To kind of, I guess that would summarize or encapsulate our whole conversation here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You don't need, if you have a product to sell and you like, and you have a core following of 10, like 1,000, like, I think, what is it? There's riches in the niches or something like that. Like, that's the,
I've never heard that. It's funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. You don't need the big number unless it's something you're chasing, but to actually be successful, you don't need that at all.
No. Right. We often talk about our buddy Adam Coppola. It's like 800 followers, not 1,000, 800,000, just 800 followers on his Instagram and, you know, rocking in six-figure deals.
Multiple.
For just, you know, creative endeavors, professional photography, videography, what have you. Like, that's where his focus is. It's not on growing in social media. You know, so it just, wherever your focus may be, just have a plan, have a strategy, and try to utilize it and leverage things to your advantage, whatever it may be. That's it.
That is it. That is it. Yeah. Well, Trav, lastly, it's a piece of advice you would give your younger self.
Mine would just be to never stop. Foot on the gas pedal, you can let off a little bit, but just don't ever stop. Keep going. If you stop, it's over. Just remain consistent and keep going.
Well said, man. Great. I know Aaron mentioned it in this episode. I don't want to turn this on me. I mentioned my legs are glued to the floor because I just finished my first marathon. And I had this exact thought, like, I don't know at what mile, but I was just thinking, man, there's some people who are running this in 2.5 hours, and there's some people who are running this in 6 hours. But everybody who doesn't stop crosses the finish line.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh man, that's so awesome. Everybody who didn't cross the line stopped for whatever reason, medical or just mental willpower. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what you just said. I mean, keep going. Some people are naturally speedier or more gifted in certain areas and get there quicker. And it's frustrating if you see those people and compare it to yourself.
Yep.
But I think the only way to ensure you don't get to where you want to go is if you stop.
Exactly.
So, that's right.
So appreciate you, Trav. Appreciate you, Aaron. Had a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and just appreciate your time and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. I really appreciate you guys having me. It's been great.
All right. Till next time, guys.
Take care.
Take care.